Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's episode of My Best Vintage Life podcast. I'm Bridget Morawski and this is my co-host,
Art
Bazarkadian. Welcome. If it's your first time listening, we hope that you enjoy the show and highly recommend you go back and start from the beginning. Okay, Art's just smiling at me. First thing first.
What are we talking about today?
Our little deets. No, we're going to do our deets first.
No, what are we talking about today?
Messing up my flow. We're talking about what it takes to run a vintage clothing warehouse.
Yeah, okay, cool. That way I can get my thoughts together.
Yes. Email us at admin@mybestvintagelifepodcast.com. That's admin, A-D-M-I-N, @mybestvintagelifepodcast.com. You can follow us on social media at Instagram, @mybestvintagelifepodcast, and also on Pinterest. Don't forget to check out our website, mybestvintagelifepodcast.com. You can sign up for the newsletter there.
You can. Vintage for Business.
Toucan. Vintage for Business newsletter, which comes out once a month at the beginning of the month. Always free, always enjoyable. And if you'd like to call and leave us a voicemail, if you have a question or a concern, you can always reach out that way via Google Voice. It's area code 559-365-6743. 559-365-6743. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Rating is simply giving us a star. Review, you go a little bit above and beyond, write some nice words. We haven't had a good review in a long time, so I'd really appreciate one if anybody has.
I think it's because of me.
A chance. It has nothing to do with you.
Oh, yeah.
No. People just have different priorities. You can do it through the Apple Podcast app. Or you can do so through Podchaser. Podchaser is available to anyone, Android, Apple, PC, Mac, whatever. And it's actually a really cool website where you can learn about other podcasts as well. So I highly recommend checking out Podchaser. My obsession at the moment. Well, first off, do you have an obsession at the moment?
Not really.
Nothing.
No.
Okay. Well, I, in celebration of selling my house, which was completed last week, I no longer own my first home. I decided I was going to treat myself to a new purse, and I bought a bag from Swedish brand Little Lifner.
Good for you.
It's sitting to the left of Art as we speak. He's looking at it.
The bag?
Yeah, the bag.
The one that you could fit inside?
I don't think it's that big. I probably should have gotten the smaller one, but I like it. I love it.
There might be more leather on that than an entire cow.
No, okay, he's exaggerating. You can look it up if you'd like. It's the Tulip Bag by Little Lifner. Hello to any Swedish listeners that I may have out there.
It is cool. It is pretty.
Yeah, it's a beautiful bag. Architectural.
I'm glad you did something nice for yourself.
Thank you. I tend to spend most of my money on
animals.
Animals, yes.
Not even her animals, just any random animal.
No, that's not true.
No, it's true. You give to the Animal World Fund.
The Animal World Fund?
Yeah, it's kind of like the People Fund from Seinfeld.
Yes. No new patrons this week.
Wah, it's wah. Fine.
Wah, wah. So no new patrons, so we don't have any burning questions for Art or any shout-outs, but if you would like to become one, you could do so at patreon.podbean.com/mybestvintagelifepodcast, or you could just Google it and find it pretty easily that way. Just a quick rundown of our patron support tiers. There's $2, which provides general support. $5 will get you a shout out, whether it be personal and or business. You'll get to ask Art a burning question on one of our podcast episodes, and you will get a bi-weekly mini-sode, so two extra bonus episodes a month. Next week's mini-sode will be about the craziest shit that's happened at the warehouse since I've been here. Lots of funny stories for you.
Got yeah, that's true.
Nudes and unbuttoned shirts and chest hair. Did he have a glittering chain on? I can't remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who was here for that? Dustin was here.
Dustin
Tiffany
was here.
Tiffany wasn't here. No.
Not yet.
She missed out. Yeah, it's going to be a good bonus episode next week. So whether you're at the $5 or $20 tier, you will get bonus episodes. And then the $20 tier is a monthly mentor call with me and maybe Art. Art tends to jump in on them, but he's not always available. But it's a 1 30-minute mentor call a month, plus you get all the benefits of the $5 tier as well. and we have 3 spots left there. Very good for vintage business
owners. I'm very impressed with the 2 that are mentoring.
Yes. Yeah.
They're real go-getters.
They're go-getters, and they're very appreciative of what we do, which is nice to hear. It's always reassuring for me, you know, to know that we're helping people.
Yeah, that is a good feeling.
Yeah.
And then we're like a resource, and we don't mind sharing. I don't like being secretive. There's no need for it.
No, I want to help people, so yeah. I hope more people take advantage of it, you know, get lots of good stuff with your subscription tiers. Okay, so jumping right in to, see, I kept that to 6 minutes. You told me that I take too long.
You do.
What does it take to run a vintage warehouse? So I kind of outlined the episode about what I want to ask you, things that I think people probably don't even think about, and it's things that you can, now I'm not saying you're going to go start a vintage warehouse, but things to think about with your businesses, or maybe if you're not a business owner, businesses that you support, things that, you know, we don't even think about that businesses have to pay for or take care of or worry about. So I just thought it would be cool to talk about
some hidden costs. Yeah, the hidden costs sometimes too. Like when you see something and you're like, why is this so expensive? Mm-hmm. Now maybe you can understand that there's a lot behind it other than just the cost of the item.
So whether you're a business owner or an enthusiast, we're just trying to help you understand, you know, that businesses everywhere have a lot of overhead. And I know it's been a struggle for a lot of people throughout the pandemic. So just kind of giving you more insight into, you know, you come into the warehouse and it's closed and exciting and fun, but there's a lot of the guts of the warehouse that we don't ever really talk about until now. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the first thing. I kind of have like a little list here of bills. So bills you would have to pay. Insurance. What's insurance like for a warehouse space?
It's not so much the warehouse space. It's more about the contents. So because of the fact that it's clothing, it's really, really hard to insure.
And why is that? Because of the flammability or?
Yep, exactly. Flammability and the fact that you really don't have like SKUs and different things when you've purchased them. So it's really hard to get value for it. Like something does happen, you can't get what it's worth. You have to get what you paid for.
We learned that the hard way with the burglary. Correct. They were giving us comps from Walmart for jackets.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
And it's incredibly expensive. I mean, I think that's like our largest expense other than rent for those recurring fees is liability insurance.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. And I'm sure you have to go through a commercial insurer. You're not going through like Allstate or.
No, you have to go to second tier people because they won't, you know, a lot of those companies don't even mess with it. Mm-hmm. We've had, I think, 6 different companies in the last 10 years. And that has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with them. They just don't want to insure or take a risk on a company like ours or any clothing. I know a lot of the larger rag houses have the same issues.
Well, I mean, I think there are plenty of other things out there that are highly flammable. I mean, paper products, cardboard. You know, I'm thinking about places that manufacture. I mean, where I grew up, there was a cardboard factory.
But those are like multi-million, billion-dollar companies.
True. Yeah, like International Paper is what I'm talking about.
So that's, you know, that's a huge company.
Right.
When you're a nickel and dimer like us, it's quite significant.
What about an electric bill? What's an electric bill like for a place like this?
Our monthly electric bill is anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 a month. That's depending on time of year and also how much laundry we're doing because we run those. We have 6 dryers that we run pretty much every day for about 7 hours.
Now, you did swap out the lights, right?
Yeah, that helped quite a bit. We used to have halogen bay lights, which are like a big. And it actually generated heat because they had ballast. So now we switched everything to LED, no heat, which, you know, took about 2 years to do the entire place. But in the long run, we're saving money with it.
Mm-hmm. Better for the environment as well.
Yeah, you're not having to replace those bulbs.
Mm-hmm. Water. What about water?
Water also fluctuates between 200 and 400.
A month?
A month.
Okay.
Well, 100 of it is actually just for having that pump house and its own. We have the whole warehouse is sprinklered, but we have also our own pump just in case something happens. So just to have its own dedicated water line costs $100 a month.
And you have to pay to have that tested monthly.
Every month, every quarter, every year, every 5 years. Just in fire sprinkler maintenance is around $2,000 to $3,000 a year. Yeah.
Well, we're lucky we're pretty close to a fire station, so, and having the pump house, I mean, I don't, once the stuff is soaked with a sprinkler, I really don't know what you do with it, but at least we have that.
Yeah.
And we're not in a high fire area, per se.
No, it's just carelessness if we do something stupid. Right. That's what I worry about, mostly not a plane crashing here or like somebody running down the street with a torch in their hand saying, Have you seen anybody?
I'm paranoid about the downstairs area.
What downstairs area?
Where we are right now. I'm always checking, making sure if things are shut off and,
You do that everywhere.
I know. What about like trash? We have dumpsters. Yeah, I mean,
it's insignificant.
Yeah.
But we actually have to pay to recycle, which is unbelievable to me. It's a law out here that to have a recycling bin and then you have to pay to have someone come and take it.
I know. And I keep asking you, why don't we get a bigger recycling bin? And you said it's too expensive.
Yeah, we have to pay for it and it's mandatory. Nice racket.
Pest control. That's another one. A lot of people
don't know. It's a very important one. It's do not chintz out on this because it's you have to control the environment you're in. So strongly recommend it, regardless of the size of your space.
We do pest control for insects and also for rodents.
The only thing we cannot do it for, and it's our biggest problem, is bats. Unfortunately, this area, when I first moved in, there was tons of bats in here. And, the droppings are annoying. But now, as soon as mating season was over, we were able to block the entrances with netting so they couldn't come back, but a few have made it in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many.
No, compared to what it was like before.
Cute little bat houses at the hardware store. I saw a bat house. It was where the bird houses are.
Yeah. Was there enough room for a robin in there?
It was so cute.
You're funny.
Security. That's another one.
Well, we've gone overboard with security.
Yeah,
we have. Yeah, I can't take it anymore. So a huge expense this year was fortifying this place with more cinder block and concrete walls where I had roll-ups in the back.
Right, because we had people trying to
sledgehammer in, cut in.
Yeah. So we now have normal security and private security.
Yeah, private security over the weekend.
Which a friend of mine does.
Very well, by the way.
Very well. He gives us detailed,
hilarious reports.
Every half hour? No. Anytime anything happens.
Anytime. Even if it's a dog barking, he'll triangulate the location of the dog.
Yeah.
Or a fiesta or a party or a gunshot.
I sleep better knowing that he's here. That's for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Well, what about employees?
What about them? Yeah, the kind that I strongly recommend not to get is someone who thinks that it's their business.
Yeah. We've had, we've had every kind of type of employee you could name since I've been here. We've had them, and I don't know. I mean, I could desperately use someone to help me or could desperately use more help, but it's just like we've gotten to the point where I just don't even...
Well, there's different types. It's like I always say there's a use for every tool. You can't use a hammer for everything.
Right.
So I think like some of the people that we've brought in, I've expected way too much from them. And so that's kind of my fault because most jobs that people do, it's very task specific. But in this business, you have to, in this warehouse, you have to wear so many different hats and some people just are not cut out to wear that many hats.
Probably the worst experience for me was when we had pretty much all male employees and I was the only female here. And
that's like now.
It's, yeah, but these guys, have been here longer. Like, this was just a mishmash of guys who didn't want to take orders from a woman, like many of the men in Fresno.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, I won't start.
Don't start.
Anyways, I have some issues with men here. But a strong-minded woman is just not, was not looked upon well during that time, and I had a lot of issues with our employees, and yeah, it sucked. I don't know. But then again, like, some of the female employees we've had haven't been much better, you know.
Yeah, they had issues too.
With yeah. you.
Some need to get smacked upside the head by their daddies.
No.
Yeah. I didn't say me. I said their dads.
Yeah, we've had some attitude issues, some serious attitude adjustments needed. Right now, our biggest issue with our employees, I guess, is a language barrier. I don't know how to make it better. One guy took English classes for a year and somehow...
He's still taking them right now on online courses.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's trying.
But I mean, I'll ask him, where is art? And he looks at me like...
He points to the wall and he says, it's hanging right there.
No, I wish. You know, and as a former language teacher, I'm just... mind boggled as to who's teaching him, what are they teaching him? They're not doing a good job.
Why don't you speak Spanish to them, since that's what you studied?
I do, but it's that's
slangish.
It's a completely different. I mean, you can't assume just because you know a language and someone knows a language that you're going to be able to communicate. Look at English. Look at the things I say. Look at the twist ice cream cone. You know, I mean, everybody's from a different part of a country, and there's different dialects, different slang. We know that the guys working for us didn't have a good education growing up, so they didn't learn grammatically correct Spanish. They weren't, you know.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's like sometimes me speaking to them, whether it's in English or Spanish, it doesn't make a big difference.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, it's hard.
So back to the, what it takes to run a warehouse.
Well, I have more things, but I don't know. Do you want
to? I was just thinking of what you really need.
Oh, I had some other stuff to talk about.
Go ahead.
And I figure at the end you can, anything I missed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything you wanted to add to the employees?
No.
No.
Well, in California, it's incredibly, incredibly expensive to have employees. By the time you're done paying, you know, $15 an hour, it ends up costing you closer to 20. It's almost 28% to 34% increase with all the different things you have to pay for them.
Yeah.
And that's just minimum.
Right. Meanwhile, Pennsylvania, where I'm from, it's just like minimum wage is still $7.
Well, 15 isn't the minimum here. I just, you know, for the how hard this work is, I couldn't pay anybody any less than that.
No.
That's not fair.
Yeah. Especially with like what the guys are doing
now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very physical job. I mean, just being out in the elements alone is
like just today alone. I think they've cut probably like 1,100 pairs of shorts. They've sorted 3 bales.
These are 3 brothers, by the way.
Los tres amigos.
Hermanos. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a family affair here. I wanted to talk to you about space.
Yeah, space has gotten to be
square footage
expensive. You know, when I first got here, it was about I signed a lease for I want to say 14 cents a square foot with a penny added for every year. So, and then
indefinitely,
for 3 years, and then after that, I came back at he raised it to 25. With 2 cents added. So we're at almost 35 to 40 cents a square foot now.
Wow.
Which is cheap relative to the area. Now everything, I'm lucky I did that long term.
Yeah, what is it in LA?
let's see, my brother pays, I want to say $1.70, $1.60 around there.
Wow.
That's warehouse space, so it's a small office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know places that are $3, $4, $5 a square foot. It's insane. So, yeah.
It's gone up.
It's gone
like
up.
Everything else. What about supplies? I mean, I think about all the supplies we use. It's just endless. Tape, boxes.
Oh, just.
Pallet wrap.
Yeah, the stretch wrapping, it adds up. I mean, I see how much we spend with Uline plus all our other supplies at the end of the year because I just finished taxes last month. And it's unbelievable. You know, it was easily over six figures just with supplies.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, think about all the tags we have to order, all the ticketing, the stickers from Fineline, and for all the different vendors, we have to do special tickets.
Poly bags,
you know. It all adds up. And then that doesn't even include, I don't know if you're going to mention it, so I won't burst your bubble. Go ahead.
Oh. Well, my next thing was going to be, like, vehicles and forklifts. I mean, I know most of our vehicles are now in L.A. We don't really have any company vehicles here anymore.
Just one. Yeah, just a truck. Small truck we just use to get around.
I mean, the forklift.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't use a truck, you're still paying the insurance on it and business insurance.
Well, no, I mean, the forklift maintenance is insane. I feel like every time I blink, that guy's here, the one that plays the doo-wop music really loud.
Yeah, Joe, he's cool. No, what it is I like to be proactive when it comes to maintenance. You don't want things to break down, so I have them scheduled. They're called PM services. It's just like your car, you know, after a certain amount of hours. So I do it regularly, and I alternate which lifts. We have four forklifts, so I alternate. I try not to do them all on the same day because you never know when you're going to get a bunch of trucks, and then you've got all your things down, so... I like to stay on top of it.
You had bought a new one pretty recently, right?
Yeah, that was like a splurge purchase, I guess, because I was doing this project and I got paid in advance, and I always wanted a nice brand new forklift, and I just walked in and just paid cash for it, and they just looked at me like, "Who are you?"
Was it expensive?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it the green one?
No, the green one's
No,
it's the big orange one, the Doosan. Yeah, yeah, brand new. It's like, nobody buys forklift for cash. Well, I do.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's something to maintain. Are they insured or no? There's no forklift insurance.
Your business insurance covers your equipment that you use.
Okay.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Are there any other types of, like, vehicles that I missed?
Well, pallet jacks, which pallet aren't jacks. Vehicles, but they move pallets around.
You got the nice one with the weight, the scale.
The scale, yeah. I'm pretty good at guesstimating how much a pallet weighs based on the contents, based on the item, based on the size. But, you know, what I do is whenever I sell something that I'm not expecting to sell and I get that money, I put it into the company in the form of, hey, it would be really nice to have this. It'd be really nice to have this. But sometimes you're like, do I want it or do I need it? You know, kind of like, you know, you would do with your own personal stuff. So I kind of do that with the company. And I've always wanted one. And it's come in handy quite a bit because now I'm selling bales. So it helps with, like, you know, is it 1,100 pounds or is it 1,200 pounds? Which makes a big difference. It's like, you know, for the customer, I never want to shortchange them. So this way it works out right.
Yeah, I'm weird about weighing stuff. I think it was a good idea to get one. I don't know. If I was buying something by the pound, I would want it to be weighed before I got it.
Right.
If you told me that you haven't been weighing stuff, I'd probably be angry.
Of course you would.
But we don't sell a lot of stuff by the pound.
No, that's why it just started recently, about a year ago. So
yeah. Elements, damage caused by elements, weather, temperature. I know roof leaks have been an issue for us in the past.
Temperature, and with what you have to deal with here is mostly...
a lot of dust.
Dust. Being I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like a thing for some reason, but every single warehouse I've ever had has been next to a mill. And this is four different warehouses. And not just here, in four different cities, I've been next to a grain mill. So it just blows. And if you think about the locations of grain mills... that's almost impossible to do. But Sun Valley, Vernon, then here, and then also on G Street. So four different places I've had warehouses, and there was a mill that would blow either cornmeal, flour, you name it, ends up in the warehouse, and it's just annoying.
It's impossible to have a clean car here. It sucks.
Impossible. Forget the car, the clothes. You know?
Oh, I know. I said that. The clothes are covered in dust. But luckily, it's not. It's easily solved by a trip outside, take a rack out with a leaf blower.
And yeah, that's why we have
brand
those.
New. Yep. Yeah. Or you can wash some stuff too that freshens them up if it's something that you really need and you need it to look super clean.
Yeah, we usually do that. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about unexpected expenses that you had in the last year. You already talked about the cinder block wall, but you were telling me about the LA, the box truck that we used to have.
Yeah, right now there's an epidemic. I don't know if it's just here or in.
It's definitely here. It's happening in my neighborhood.
And it's not the pandemic. Daylight. This is an epidemic of catalytic converters being stolen. So our truck that's parked behind a lock gate down there has two catalytic converters. So they got stolen, cut out and stolen. And my brother went and fixed it, $1,500. 2 days later, they came back and cut them out again.
How do you even fix that? Do you have to have it towed to the garage?
You could drive it. It's just very, very loud.
Oh, I didn't know you could drive a car. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's how you know. I mean, it happened to me at a movie theater here in Fresno. My son was like 3 or 4 years old. We went in. This was on Shaw. Went in to see a movie. I think it was the Owls movie. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
The Owls of Gahul, Gulul.
Never heard of it.
Okay. It was pretty cool. And come out, start the car, and it's super loud. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I mean, it's a scary loud. And sure enough, called a security. Oh, yeah, they do that here. I'm like, you're a security guard in this parking lot. How are they doing this?
So they were doing that back
midday.
Then. Yeah. Well, that's midday. What people are talking on the Nextdoor app in my neighborhood.
It has to do with the shortage.
Shortage. I mean, shortage of everything, but I'm sure. So who's taking them? Auto body shops? They're having people steal them?
Yeah. Or? It's usually low-rung, young gangbangers.
Probably like the guy in my old neighborhood.
The one that took the camera?
No, like the guy that had a garage running out of his house.
Yeah, people like that would buy it and put them on there, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, like, no shame. I reported a guy in my old neighborhood because I was getting sick of it. Like, he had probably anywhere from 10 to 15 cars parked on the street that he was working on, like both in his garage and under a tarp in the backyard. And there were so many cars that, like, at the intersection, if you're in a lower car like mine, I almost got T-boned a few times because this guy like didn't give a shit about, like, you know, the part where you're not supposed to park.
Yeah.
They would just load the cars onto the street, and I couldn't believe nobody was doing anything about it. And my big thing when I already knew I was leaving my house. I'm like, I'm leaving this neighborhood better than I found it. And I'm sorry. Like, I know he was probably trying to make money, but
No, he's polluting oil.
I mean, that's God, no, there's knows a reason what why he's there's... doing with the oil and all the chemicals and
Think about how it's not fair to a real garage.
Right.
The garage is paying the overhead, the rent, employees. You know, he's undercutting, yeah. And then it's doing. It could be dangerous. I mean, you don't want some like random dude to work on your car.
Stuff like that will devalue your house. Like, if people see it, it's not good. So, yeah, I mean, it's really sad. It's happening even in my new neighborhood, which is a lot safer. But, hell, I just had something stolen off my front porch. So,
yeah. It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
All right. So, one major cost you have not talked about is shipping. We spend a ridiculous amount because I ship everywhere. Whether it's small packages or freight or full trucks, but that is something that you need to be mindful of when you're, even if you're selling one item to someone or whether you're selling 10 items, that just understand if you're having, a lot of times you can't make the customer pay for it. It's, you know, if you're buying stuff, obviously you're paying for it. So, you know, that's something you need to account for.
And, do you have a preferred shipper that you like to use?
Depending on where I'm shipping and how much I'm shipping. International, the best company to use is FedEx. I've been very, very happy with them. We have a great rate with them. I mean, what's blows my mind is I can send a 40-pound box to Japan in 3 or 4 days, and it's cheaper and faster than me sending something to New York or Hawaii, which is unbelievable. You know, so that really is a great way to send stuff to our friends and clients in Japan who just unfortunately just can't get here for the past year.
Right.
Yeah, so that's been a godsend for them. So I'm glad I'm able to help.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of ground service, I use UPS. When it comes to freight that goes back and forth from California up and down the West Coast, I use Central Freight. And then anything that's cross-country, we usually use a booking guy, and they just find us, you know, guys who are coming back to California or going back east, long haul drivers. Truck. I'm sorry?
Room on a truck, basically.
No. No, this is full trucks.
I know, but finding you room on a truck.
No. It's not room on a truck. That's LTL. That's less than a truckload. I'm talking about you book the whole truck. You don't want it. We don't ever split trucks with anybody. Oh. Yeah.
Even if it's just one pallet?
Then that's LTL. That's less than a truckload, and we use Central Freight for that. Yep.
Well, yeah, because of trust, right? And
sketchy. Absolutely, and yeah. It's warrant guaranteed. Something happens, it's insured. Yeah. You know, obviously, a lot of the stuff we sell is valuable, you know. Doesn't take, you know, one pallet of Levi's, you know, you got 20 grand right there.
Are you okay?
Yes. Oh, my shoulder still hurts, yeah. Oh,
okay. Well, you threw me off. I was like, is he all right? A little slumped over.
Well, I still have a baby chair, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working toward that chair.
We're getting close. So the other thing it takes to run a warehouse is a lot of energy and to be constantly not overwhelmed. Just be on top of it. And whenever you get something into your warehouse, you put it away or have someone who's organized and leaves you notes of where they put it away. Otherwise, you're not going to remember where things are. And one of the things that always cracks me up is the other burning question people have when they come here is, do you really know where everything is? And I would say 95% of it, I would say, yes, I do know where everything is since I put it away. But there's been a few things that got moved because we've had to do some skewering in the warehouse to move stuff around when we built things in the back that now I'm like, I need to go back. And that's what I do sometimes when I have downtime. I'll walk through the warehouse and take mental notes of where things are. So just in case people ask me, I know where I can direct them. Because I want to be efficient with people's time. I don't want to send them on a goose chase just to make them dig through stuff that might find one or two. I'd rather send them to a pile where I know they're going to get what they need. And the other thing you have to do in a warehouse is constantly clean, you know?
Yeah. You want to get that floor cleaner, huh? The Zamboni.
Yes. That's like my, that's when I'll know I've made it.
Oh, come
that's
on. If you bought that forklift cash, you could buy the Zamboni.
Yeah, but it's again, do I want it? Yes. Do I need it? I'm yes. getting closer now. Yeah, yes. You're right.
It's dusty.
So it's like the ride along one. Is
oh, I'm getting on it.
It's 14,000.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. So, well, the forklift was almost 30.
I know, but that's a forklift.
Yeah. So that thing. So there's a push one that you can get for about 3-4.
I think that's and reasonable.
It's the tenant one. So I know you guys have seen them at like at Costco or what's well, the Target
that, like,
has them.
Stadium, not stadiums, but like if you're at like the hockey game, you know, there's like someone pushing one at games. Like it's on the hardware.
Where? Course. At a hockey game? That's a Zamboni. It's on
no,
ice.
No, I'm not talking about on ice. I mean, like in the concessions area or at the mall. People using
those are tiny. Do you know how long it take you to do that? I want a big one.
Okay.
And I want a horn.
Talking about the actual Zamboni. I'm offended that you think that I didn't know what a Zamboni is.
I know what a Zamboni. You know what a Zamboni is. It's like a sandwich, right? Oh, no, it's a Stromboli.
A Stromboli. I forgot about
oh,
internet.
Did you know yesterday they broke the record for the largest Philly cheesesteak sandwich?
Where?
In Philadelphia.
Well, you never know.
And they did it at that your place, you know, between the two shops, right down the middle of that block.
Oh,
they went to, it got to 500 and something feet long.
Everyone, I'm going to tell you some.
This is the Pat and Geno's thing?
Yeah. Listen. Don't go to Philly and go to Pat's or go to Geno's. Now, if you're being forced to go to one or the other, go with Geno's because Pat's is very greasy. However, those are not the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. It's very touristy. It's like, you know, going to New York City and going to Times Square. It's not good. You want to go to Phillips, okay? Phillips cheesesteaks. It's not in a great area. People get shot there a lot. I'm not kidding, but take someone with you. I would take
I'm good.
A bullet for that cheesesteak.
You know what? I'll get one at Target. I'm good.
Being very honest. It happens. It's not a good area. It's South Philly. Not a good part of South Philly. But it's amazing.
Do they have Uber?
Is there Uber in Philly?
Uber Eats, yeah.
Oh, I don't. I mean,
you think,
yeah,
do you
I
think
mean,
they're on it?
Yeah, probably yeah, not.
You might be better off with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Poor Uber Eats driver.
Only best, you would honestly, send someone
the best
there.
Time to go there is when there's, you know, I felt always felt
11 a.m.
No. Honestly, yeah, earlier in the day, but and maybe the area has gotten better. Doubtful, but, yeah. Great Phillips cheesesteaks. There's also Jim's on South Street. I'm not really into Jim's. I've had theirs. It's okay. But Phillips is my favorite. Pashyunkov. I was going to talk to you about like our AT&T, the fiber optic costs that we have to pay now.
Yep. We waited 3 years for it. Oh, so,
what a hassle.
But because our internet was absolutely horrible we're constantly online, just printing, doing what we need to do with purchase orders. But obviously, you know how important the internet is. Yeah. So we were tired of it being down. And sometimes it would be down on the worst days possible, of course, because you can't do any trucking, you can't do any shipping, you can't do anything. So we waited 3 long years, lots of phone calls with different AT&T people. So now we pay almost $400 just so we can have internet.
I thought it was $5.
$4.90 something, yeah. $4.79.
I mean, but here's the thing, and this goes at your house or your apartment, wherever, fiber optic internet is so good.
It is
good. I used to have it at my old house, and now they don't have it at my new house. It's fine. I had Comcast at my old house, and it just stopped working. Like, they sent 3 texts out, and the last one was kind of just like, I don't know. Don't know what to tell you. There could be a crack in a wire 5 miles away. But it was like only my house that was having the issue. So I switched over to fiber optic. We switched to fiber optic at work. It's amazing. So if you have a business and you like, I mean, I feel like everybody needs internet these days, especially for social media, uploading big videos, YouTube, Instagram Live, IGTV.
It's an expense that you can write off as well, which, you know, if you're doing well, you're going to need some expenses.
Right. So I'm just saying it's a worthwhile investment because you need internet. And you might as well have fast internet and pay a little bit more.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I mean, at first you didn't want me to do it because you thought it was too expensive. And then, I mean, 3 hours being down, you lose that money. So why not be proactive and not lose money and just pay up front?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another form of insurance in a sense. How about all the cleaning supplies you have to have? The bathroom,
if you want a cleaning person.
Yeah, it's hand sanitizer. We have to have all these different things and masks for people who need them when they come.
Well, we always had masks.
Yeah, it's true.
It wasn't anything new for us. But yeah, hand sanitizer, soap, toilet paper, especially when toilet paper was sparse, paper towels. We have a cleaning person. My housekeeper cleans here. That's if you have a bigger space, that's something you want to think about is how you're going to keep it clean. Cleaning supplies and what route you want to go with that. You know, do you want to go the cheap route and get maybe not so good stuff? Or do you want to go the more expensive route and have greener, cleaner, more natural products? Like, it's all personal choice, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there anything I'm sure there's something we missed, but I feel like we covered a lot of what it takes to run this warehouse. So I know it wasn't a vintage episode, but so many people are fascinated by the warehouse. And I thought that it could be complementary to businesses that you're running. Just because you don't have a warehouse doesn't mean you can't apply these in your own special way to what you do. So I hope
you
learned something.
Yeah. What I was going to say is like when you have a tough choice to make because, you know, not everybody is sitting on a golden egg that they can just scrape off some gold and go get things. And I know I started really, really with pennies. And so I had to be very, very wise with my money. And I had to be very selective on what I put my money into. So the things, if you're limited, put the money into things that either help you sell, which generate more income, or make your selling more easy. Because that is the key when you're first starting is to turn over, is to generate revenue. Yes, I didn't have a forklift for the first 5 years. And people were like, how did you move these bales? Well, leverage, pushed on the right, walked to the left, pushed, got a 4-wheel dolly, pushed it on there, moved it around because I couldn't afford it. Now, if I would have put all my money into a forklift, I wouldn't have been able to have inventory. I wouldn't have been able to generate more. So it's okay to struggle in the beginning when all the conveniences, that's what they are. They're conveniences. They're not necessities. Put your money into things that generate you revenue in the beginning. A good computer, good internet, good products to sell. That's what's going to help you grow and get those things and give yourself a goal. If you've generated X amount of dollars, you see that you need something. If you hit that mark, great. You can apply it towards that. But you'll never go wrong putting money back into your business in the right way. And I think personally for me, it's been inventory. I love inventory. It's what I get to control. Anytime I've needed to generate quick cash, I have the inventory to sell. You know, I can't sell. Oh, I've got the best boxes. Well, that's great with my name printed on them. I've never personalized anything really except our invoices, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people go into the letterhead and monogramming and they spend thousands of dollars on branding. I'm like, you know, it's nice, but is that really necessary to have all that in the, you know?
No, I mean, when I had my vintage business, I did business cards and that was it. I didn't have stickers. I didn't have special tape, special tissue paper. I would use boxes that I would collect in my basement where my vintage was. I would just like have a collection of boxes and reuse them. You know, occasionally I'd buy like a fun color tissue paper or something, but I kept it very more about like just having less overhead. You know what I mean? I didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Business cards, I throw.
Even now, I try to minimize our costs on things. Yeah. It's good to be frugal and smart. And another thing, like make it easy. If you have people who come to you to shop, you know, think of like ways, and Bridget helped me with this quite a bit, is I had, what would you call them when they're janky? Janky rolling racks. They were cool. They're vintage because we were able to buy so many. And we bought like hundreds and hundreds of them for like 10 bucks each. Well, she's like, you know, things would look nicer if you had nice rolling racks. So I spent the money and got a bunch of Z racks. So things flow much better instead of rusted rolling racks.
Well, it's hard to, the bars, you know, pushing hangers on those rusty ones. It's not correct. Fun.
Yeah. So make it easy for your clients and friends to shop with you. So you could invest in that.
That's another expense I didn't think about. Rolling racks.
Oh, hangers.
Hangers.
Yeah.
Hanger returns. Bottom hangers, different types of hangers. God.
It's endless.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, water. Does. Just think about, we had water delivery today.
Couplets. What did I call them? Couplets. The Culligan man.
The Culligan. I'm like, no.
Sparklets.
Sparklets. Yeah, but he brings us that Green Valley water, which is the best.
Yeah.
That's little, my obsession.
Little glass bottles.
Aha.
Yeah. Mountain Valley.
What'd I say?
Green Valley. Because it's a green bottle.
Mountain Valley from Wakahita Valley.
Washita.
Yes.
Yeah, we get little green bottles, which I like those because they're glass. I don't know. I feel better about glass than I do about plastic.
That's great.
But we do. We have big water jugs delivered. So, like, that go into a water dispenser. That's a whole other cost.
Yeah, we have four water dispensers spaced strategically throughout the warehouse to make sure customers, employees, everybody has access.
I wish more people brought refillable water bottles with them.
They do. I've noticed the Bay Area people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's better for the environment and, or like, you know, people won't mark their bottle and then they'll, you know, if there's like three people, they'll get confused whose water's who and then we end up, you know, dumping it out. So.
Oh, you know what I do? I just pour them all into one and then I hand it to them and say, oh, I think this is yours. Gotcha. Not wasting it.
Who wants to roll the dice?
Yeah. You're not leaving here until one of you finishes this.
No.
So, Rochambeau.
Rochambeau. we're at almost 45 minutes.
Well, I can talk to you all day.
I know you could. If you guys have any questions, we always give you plenty of options at the beginning. If you want to rewind and listen, pick your poison in terms of how you want to reach out to us. And if you would like to support the podcast, you can do so through the methods I talked about in the beginning, through Podbean, lots of good stuff and extra content there for you. Sorry, I've been a little absent on Instagram the last week. It just was an emotional week with the house closing, and I feel like I finally had a chance to just
breathe.
Yeah, and I haven't been myself in the sense that I've just kind of been a little easier on myself about I gotta do this today, gotta do that today. So yeah, I think now I'm in a different place and I feel good. So
yeah, I could tell you've been very positive all week.
Yeah,
good.
It's been a good week. So
not so hard on yourself.
I'm trying. Is there anything you'd like to add, my friend?
No.
Smiling at me. All right, my friends, in the meantime, stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy, be kind.
Don't be basic.
And don't be basic. Bye.
Auf Wiedersehen.